6 or 7 sermons I want to preach today and only a couple opportunities to do it. So this morning I'm going to preach to you on the grace of God. You could call this a lesson, a Sunday school class, call it whatever you want to, but we're going to talk about the grace of God. Amen? Amen. Now, I've gave you several times over the last year the real and true, probably, I guess I wouldn't call it the definition, but an illustration of what grace is. Grace is usually defined in a pulpit by God's riches at Christ's expense. But the only thing that's true about that definition is God and Christ. The rest of that definition, you can throw it away. The definition of grace has nothing to do with riches, and it has nothing to do with expenses. So just forget that definition. Throw it away as another independent Baptist mistake. Amen? And so all we got when we're dealing with the grace of God is the ability of somebody in one condition to deal with somebody else in another condition. And so I wrote down two of my own made up. I didn't look this up in 1828 or any other kind of dictionary. I took my Bible and studied what grace was and come up with the definition for you. And I've got two of them. The grace of God does not enable us to live outside of the principles of God. The grace of God does not enable us to live outside of the principles of God. It protects us from His wrath as our principles improve, as we grow as Christian sons. The grace of God shows up to man and it finds him in a condition that's not associated with God in any way. We were lost. Amen? Our principles were lost. Our will was lost. Everything about us was lost. And so when God shows up and finds us in the condition that we are, He died for us, He saved us, He washed us in His blood, all of these wonderful things that we talk about. And then the grace of God remains with us as we grow as Christians. Because if you've been saved a year, you're still not worthy to be in His presence, except for by His blood, by His righteousness. Everything that we inherited from Him, everything that we got from Him upon salvation, those things are what's good in us and good about us and so forth and so on. You may have some good qualities that was instilled in you by your mom and daddy, but you got those by training, not by nature. Amen? So the grace of God does not enable us to live outside of the principles of God. When you see somebody that's living incorrectly and you preach to them, you witness to them, you talk to them, they get all up in the air about you being a legalist and how that now we're living under the grace of God. And basically what that says to me is that I have the grace of God and therefore I can do what I want to. And the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Amen? The idea of a you can't judge me, you shouldn't judge me is a demonic statement. Born right out of hell. Amen? John Adams, our second president, said that he didn't know a lot of things about Christianity, which I think he was being modest. I think he did know a few things about Christianity. Not all that he should have, but I think he did know a few things about Christianity, but he said he didn't know a lot of things about Christianity, but he did know one thing, and that is that men need to be governed, and I agree with that wholeheartedly. The independence movement was a great thing, but that's independence from England, not independence from rules, regulations, so forth and so on. We have certain rights that are inalienable that no government ought to touch, but Romans chapter 13 makes it clear that God put rulers and such as that here on this earth to keep people straight. And that is as far as we're going to go into that. But the statement that you can't judge me or you shouldn't judge me is a rebellious statement. Rebellious, rebellious, rebellious. Get rid of it. Throw it away. Amen. Now, I've heard the statement about three or four times this week, and really it helped me out, so I'm thankful for it and appreciate it. I'm appreciative of it. But this one fella says to me, he says, we can't be watchdogs over one another as Christians. And I fully and wholeheartedly agree with that. In the Bible, a dog is a lost man. Dogs are lost people. Revelation chapter 22, if I'm not mistaken, says without her dogs and sorcerers and so forth and so on. So a dog, surely God didn't put watchdogs over Christians. Amen? But he did set watchmen. Watchmen, watchmen. In the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, God sets a watchman. If you don't cry out and you don't cry loud and show them their sins, then when they die, they're going to die, but their blood will be required at your hands. And that's a verse that was very common when I was a boy growing up in church. We got that verse a lot. You better go out and tell them, because if you don't tell them, they're going to die, but their blood, they will perish. They will be judged, but their blood will be on your hands. Amen? And so we're talking about the grace of God. That's definition number one. And definition number two for that would be a little bit simpler. Grace is high principle moving in the realm of low principle with the express purpose of rescuing its captives. Grace is high principle. That's God. Moving in the realm of low principle. That's me and you. Amen? And if low principle has us bound to our low principles, then the grace of God has the express purpose of rescuing low principles captives. I mean, low principle is your nature. Amen? That's why you got to be trained as a child. That's why somebody has to tell you, get up, go to work, pay your bills, be nice to old ladies, whatever principle it is that you need. Amen. That's why God left us parents. And so with those things in mind, grace is high principle moving in the realm of low principle with the express purpose of rescuing its captives. And the sermon this morning is really based on that second definition. And I think I told you Titus chapter 2. If I didn't, I apologize. But Titus chapter 2, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, God, for the Spirit of God and the movement already that I can detect here this morning. And I pray, oh God, that you would have mercy on us. Thank you, God, for each and every one that showed up for Sunday school this morning. What a blessing it is to my soul. What a blessing it is in my own heart, God. I thank you for this week. I thank you for the adversity. I thank you, God, for the frustration. I thank you, God, for everything that you've used like an ox goad to push me in a certain direction. And Lord, I ask you now to help us, to strengthen us, to be very merciful to us. I pray, God, that some of the people that were invited to church this week would show up this morning. And if they don't show up this morning, I pray, God, you'd deal with their hearts. I pray, oh God, that the witness that's been witnessed to them, Lord, would be effective. And Lord, I pray with all my heart that if there be anyone from our own congregation that wouldn't come out because they're sick, I pray that you'd heal them. If they wouldn't come out because of rebellion, I pray you'd deal with them. If they wouldn't come out because being providentially hindered or traveling, then God, I pray you'd give them traveling mercies. Whatever the need, I pray that you would supply. And Lord, I believe with all my heart that the need of the hour this morning is that you'd deal with our hearts through your Holy Spirit, through the Word. And I thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. All right, Titus chapter number 2. And let's look in verse number 11. I want to preach to you, like I said, about the grace of God. Let's look in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. First of all, it looks to me like old brother Titus is a legalist. Amen. I've told you this 1,000 times. I'm going to tell you 1,001. When something is true, you're going to see it on every page of the Bible. There it'll be. 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 Amen. You're either going to be a legalist or an illegalist. The technical term of a legalist is really that you teach works for salvation, and we don't teach that. But we certainly do teach good works. This crowd just hates works, 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 works. But he said this, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God. I'm glad I serve the great God. Amen. And our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. That's what's past. And purify unto himself a peculiar people, that's right now, present, and zealous of good works, that's your future, zealous of good works. These things speak, And if that ain't good enough, exhort. And if that ain't good enough, rebuke. With all authority, let no man despise thee. Don't give anybody reason to despise you after you've told them what the truth is. Amen? So let's look back in verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Number one, the grace of God is present. Amen? I'm glad about that. I'm glad about that in Folkston. I'm glad about that in Browntown. I'm glad about that in Hilliard. I'm glad about that anywhere we can reach from this church. Amen. I've passed out some tracts in Jacksonville. I don't think it's too far to go. Amen. If you don't have a good church. Amen. If there's a good church in Jacksonville, you tell me about it and I'll point people that way. Till then, I'll point them this way. Amen. You say, why? Because I don't have any idea about what's going on in other places, but I got some ideas about what's going on here. Amen. But I know this about Folkston: the grace of God has appeared for salvation. Amen. The grace of God didn't appear to let you keep on going in your Gentile ways or your Judaistic ways or whatever. The grace of God showed up to save you. Amen. That's a wonderful thing. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, the Bible says, let's look in 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to turn to these passages and read them, and it might take up a lot of time, but it is Sunday school after all, so we can make this sermon just as much of a lesson as anything else. But 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 1. We then, as workers with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God. There it is, in vain. Don't receive it in vain. Now, some people got some ideas about what that verse might mean, but I know if I put Scripture together with Scripture, and if Titus says that the grace of God has showed up to bring salvation to you, then when you hear the grace of God, when you hear it preached, when you hear it taught, and nothing takes place in your life, then you've received it in vain. You've received it in vain. Now, that same statement, I believe, is made with just a few different words in chapter number 15 of 1 Corinthians. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. You're saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." You say, how do you believe in vain? You believe with no change. You believe with no repentance. You believe with no demonstration of the Holy Spirit in your heart. When you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, you see Paul preaching to people, and he didn't just preach to them words that they accepted as facts, but they believed, and their belief was not in vain because there was a demonstration of the power of God there that changed their life. That's right. Amen. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, "We then, as workers together with him," it's me working with God, it's you working with God, it's ambassadors for Christ out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That chapter 6, chapter 5, y'all see how that works, don't you? They go together. And he says, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he hath said, I have heard thee in a time accepted," right now. Today's the day to do something about this message. Don't wait till next week, amen? Don't let stuff pile up on you till you can't comprehend what's going on. If you get last month's information and then this month's information and then next month's information, you let all that stuff pile up on your life, then you're just carrying a burden. Best thing to do is hear today's sermon, get it right, and leave it be. Amen. Leave it at the altar and go on forward. That way next week you can worry about what's going on next week, and you can do what's convenient for today. Amen. Convenient for the day is the things you ought to take care of today. "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee." Now that ain't like a con man, S-U-C-K-E-R-E-D. It's not succoring somebody. It's helping somebody. It's comforting somebody. It's giving somebody what they need exactly when they need it. He said, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So the Bible said over in the book of Titus, he said that salvation has showed up for an express purpose for salvation. Amen. I wouldn't be too rebellious if I was you when I heard the gospel preached and you needed to be saved. Just don't hold out on that. Don't put that off. Get saved. Amen. And then likewise, when you get saved and the Holy Spirit begins to deal with you, what's the first thing I told you he'd start dealing with you about? I mean, the first thing biblically in the book of Acts, just start worried about yourself. I mean, start being considerate of yourself. We talked about the blood and the strangled stuff and all that. So we went over that. You remember it by heart, right? Amen. Well, the Lord starts dealing with you with certain things. The Lord starts dealing with you about particular ideas, particular views as far as Christianity is concerned. Go ahead and get those things taken care of. You say, why? Because today's the day. Today is the day. Amen. Now is the accepted time to get squared away with God. Say, well, I've already been saved. Well, that doesn't mean you've arrived. Amen. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward. He said, I'm pressing toward the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. God has called us to higher things than just being saved. Amen. When you're born as a little baby, you are meant for higher things. You're not meant for the walker. You're not meant for the crib. Man was not born for the crib. Amen? He was born for the plow. Amen? He was born... Thank God we've got something better to do in this life than to lay around in the crib and suck our thumbs and cry all day about our situations. God's got something bigger for us. Amen. God didn't save you to sit on a church pew. I think sometimes it'd be a good idea to take your little church pew and put some little bars around the side of it and some baby bumpers so you don't bust your little teeth out on it. Amen. Put one of them little spinny things up there so you don't wake up during the service. Amen. But you weren't made for a crib, amen? You was made for the plow. You was made for the armor, amen? I got to thinking last week about Christians. Just armor up, amen? Get your armor on. Well, I've been hurt by this and hurt by that. Okay, stop sucking your thumb. Get up, because the grace of God has appeared right now. Today is the day of salvation. Put your armor on. Wrap up your little boo-boos so they don't get infected, amen? And just go forward for God. God got bigger things for you. Amen. The grace of God is present. Now is the accepted time. Get squared away with God right now. That's an old military term, by the way. A lot of people say it, a lot of people use it, but just get squared away. Amen. The drill instructor comes in, the first sergeant comes in, looks around at your bed, your bunk, your bulkheads, and your bathroom and all that stuff, and says, get this squared away. It's a mess in here. Well, the grace of God shows up in your life and says, get this stuff squared away. Amen. A little tighter crease on that bed there. Amen. Get squared away with God. Now is the time. That's what grace does. And then grace not only does that, grace didn't show up just to save us. Amen. But grace showed up to teach us some things. Look in verse 12. Teaching us. The grace of God is not the grace of God without its teachings. If you've got the grace of God, but the grace of God isn't teaching you anything, you do not have the grace of God. Amen. I should say that about 50 times. People are so happy about the grace of God in this day and time because it means that just everything's okay. No, that is not what it means. The grace of God means you need to get out your notebook and your little pencil and your Bible and your dictionary and your thesaurus and sit down and learn a lesson. Amen? While grace gets up and puts on its professor's cap and points its finger in your face and tells you to go this way and tells you to go that way and tells you to go the other way. I mean, you'd much rather have God's ox goad than the devil as an ox goad. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But you know what an ox goad is? It's a little stick and it's got a metal point on it, and when they want the ox to go this way, I mean, everybody in the world can't be a cowboy, unfortunately. We can't all be John Waynes with lassos and whips, and that's one way to get cattle moving. But another way to do it, just you and one old cow in the field, and he's on this side of the field and you want him to get on that side of the field, you just take the metal point on that ox goad and stick him in the rear end. He'll start heading that direction. Amen. The grace of God is an ox goad. The grace, that's not very flattering for you, calling you an ox, but that's about how smart some of us are. Yeah. Amen. So we need something to just prick us in the behind, get us going. That's right. Oh, I can't believe you're talking that way. Well, I can't believe what you watched on HBO last week. So let's have grace towards one another, huh? Put up with me, I put up with you. Amen? Amen. The Bible says, teaching us. Teach. So the grace of God is not the grace of God without its teaching. If the grace of God isn't teaching you something, if the grace of God isn't it increasing your principles, if it isn't increasing your knowledge, if it's not increasing your understanding of God and His Word, then you have not received the grace of God. You've received it in vain. You heard it, and you shook your head yes at it, and you sat in a church that talks about grace, but without any change, there's no grace there. People get upset with me, but you can get upset with me if you want to. If I go to your camp meeting, if I go to your church meeting, if I go to your little religious gathering, and I see people in miniskirts, I start scratching my head. He said, "My brother Mike, don't you want people in miniskirts?" Yeah, I would like to see people in miniskirts come to church and get right.
That's right.
But that's not what I'm seeing. I'm seeing people in miniskirts, the ones in the choir. See, that's a little bit different. And so, well, all them miniskirts, well, preacher, you're so judgmental. I wouldn't be judgmental if it was lost people there getting right or Christians there getting right. I wouldn't have no problem with that at all. But I tell you what I've got a problem with. I got a problem with people in the choir singing about the grace of God and hadn't experienced the grace of God and hadn't been no change in their life. Hey, the miniskirt's supposed to be in the pew, amen, till it gets thrown in the trash can. Not supposed to be up here. Before you know it, there'll be preachers wearing miniskirts.
That's right.
You like that or lump it. That's the gospel truth. That's where we're heading. That's where we're heading this day and time. People so afraid to get corrected. Amen. Preachers are afraid to correct people because they're afraid they'll lose their little members. Amen. If you've been saved any amount of time, member of the church any amount of time, and you still want to live like the devil, here's what you ought to do. You ought to quit or get right. That's what you ought to do. Amen. You say, why? Because you're doing despite to the Spirit of God, to the Spirit of grace. That's what I believe. The grace of God teaches us. What does it teach us? Denying ungodliness. You're to deny it. Well, we want to take this program and put it in your living room. No, sir. No, sir. I want to get next to you at work and cuss and tell dirty jokes. No, sir. No, sir. I'm a man, but I want to look like a woman around you. No, sir. No, sir. You say, what is that? That's denying. See a basketball player, he goes up for a shot, and somebody comes along and pow, knocks the ball about three quarters away across the court. Somebody in that stands hollers, denied. Somebody else hollers, face, in your face. That's what that word means, denied. Denied. You say, well, we ought to have more grace. Okay, start hollering loud against sin. That's what grace teaches. Chapter and verse, there it is. I mean, either this verse is just as inspired as John 3:16 or it ain't. Do we cut it out or do we leave it there? Denying ungodliness and worldly lust. They got all this stuff in the news now about these girls that are hollering about these nasty, dirty men that has taken advantage of them in the movie industry. Well, them girls shouldn't have been in that nasty situation to begin with. Amen?
Yep.
And hey, when somebody messes with you ladies, I've got one piece of advice for you. Go straight to the police. Amen. You know why they didn't go straight to the police? Angelina Jolie and all these actresses. You know why they didn't go straight to the police? Because they'd rather have the money and they'd rather have the fame rather than their own reputation, rather than their own decency. They'd rather have some money. And now that they got all that, well, now we're going to turn on this man. You shouldn't have submitted to the evil in the first place. You should have submitted to godliness and stayed about as far from Los Angeles, California, and California in general, amen, as you possibly could.
Right.
Amen. And to be honest with you a little bit, we had a California fellow missionary on Sunday or Wednesday, and I kind of wiped off the pulpit after they was gone. Amen. I mean, you can say I'm kidding about that if you want to, and that is right. I'm kidding, but California. You say, why? San Francisco's out there.
That's right.
The fruit city capital. Hey, I don't want nothing to do with that place. Amen. Hey, girls, you got a little bit of good looks. You got a little bit of talent. Stay away from California. Yeah. They'll ruin you. So that's kind of a legalist kind of a statement. Just denying ungodliness. Just denying worldly lust. Amen? Amen. That's right. That's what the Bible says. That's what the grace of God teaches. Amen. Now come back with something to say about that. You can't. That's Bible. You have to start your own religion, which is what most people have already done anyway. You have to get your own religion, have your own beliefs, and your own little followers. That's what you have to stick with. But the godly folks are going to learn something from the grace of God and go on and get better in their lives. Amen. Amen. They're going to quit doing what they used to do. They're going to start doing some other things. Amen. When that old stuff comes back and says, hey, you remember me? Like Lester Roloff called it, John Barleycorn shows up at your door and says, you remember me? When Jim Beam shows up and says, you remember me? Say, you can't come in here no more.
Right.
When the pornography shows up on your computer screen, you say, you can't come in here no more.
Yeah.
They got it set up where now where you can Google cornflakes and some old naked woman will come up over here on the side in an advertisement. You're going to have to deny that sort of thing. If you can't block that stuff out, you're just going to have to do without the internet. Amen. If you can't do without nakedness, you're just going to have to do without your television. That's what grace teaches. That's what grace teaches. Deny it. Deny it. Deny it. It's called restriction. You're restricted. You're restricted, young computer. Go to your corner. Unplug it and stick it over there, amen? Well, I think I can control it. I don't know if you can or not. Some of the best preachers on the planet couldn't control it. Amen? I got to visit with a woman yesterday down in Hilliard and stood there on the porch talking to him. And, you know, standing there in the back of my mind, the devil says, now, this woman's probably going to invite you in. I said, she ain't going to invite me in. If she does, I ain't going in there. You say, why not? Because that's not the way you're supposed to do, amen? You remember a couple of years, you say, what point does that have? I'll tell you what the point has. You remember about a year ago that this fella, Pence, your vice president, come out and said, I don't have meetings with women by myself. And the news media just jumped on him. Boy, oh, you mean you can't have a business meeting with a woman? Oh, my soul, what is this backwards? And they all jumped on him. But now who are they jumping on? A fella having private meetings with a bunch of women. Bunch of devils, that's what it is. That's what it is. That's what it is. You don't get yourself in a situation where you can be tempted, amen? I mean, hey, you got to be tempted before you can sin. So keep yourself out of position to be tempted. You'll be all right, amen?
Yeah.
Of course, your own stinking mind's always going to be with you. But just watch out for situations, amen? Deny it. Ain't going to do it. Ain't going to do it. I'm not saying a thing in the world. That lady would have probably never invited me into the house without her husband home. But that's not the point. The point is, if that situation should have happened, the answer is no.
Right.
No.
Right.
If nothing else, abstain from all appearance of evil.
Right.
Amen. And it's about time, and I'll just throw this in. This is a free part of the sermon. It's about time that men and women alike in this country begin to think not only about themselves and what their own flesh desires, but how about thinking about the outcome for the other person? Before you decide to go get you another woman, instead, it's good to think about yourself and what that might cost you, but think about what it might cost the woman. Be easy for you to walk in some woman's house. But what if her husband's jealous? What if somebody come by and said, hey, I saw a man going in your wife's house while you wasn't home? I mean, think about what that'd mean for her. Huh? Think about that a little bit. See a pretty woman, you got a lust after her. How about saying this? Boy, that woman has a soul. I mean, there's two outcomes here. I could be an influence on her for good or an influence on her for bad. Ladies, you could be an influence on a man for good, or you can be an influence on him for bad. For bad or good. Think about what you wear. Think about what you say. Deny the opportunities. Amen? Deny the opportunities. That's the grace of God. You say, that sounds like legalist preaching. No, that's grace of God teaching and preaching. Amen? T. teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. Soberly. That means more than just not drinking, by the way.
Right.
Sober. That means easy to think. It's when you're sober, it's easy to think. Let me tell you the easiest way to live in a way that's easy to think. I mean, something where you don't have to think about something before you do it. Let's do the same thing all the time. Be consistent. And after you get to where you're just doing good all the time, it becomes habitual, legalist, pharisaical. That's because that's what they'll call it. I do good all the time. Well, you're doing good all the time because it's a ritual and not because it's from the heart. Lord, have mercy. Well, listen, if I'm going to get up and shave, or if I'm going to take a shower and go to bed, or if I'm going to do something constantly, you don't really have to plan those things out, do you? Get up and shave. Take a shower and go to bed. Eat breakfast. Those are things you don't have to think about if you do them on a regular basis. Some of you don't even think about what you're going to have to eat. You realize some people are that programmed that they'll get up and eat two eggs over easy with half a teaspoon of salt on it and a little bit of ketchup on the side. I mean, this much mayonnaise and that much jelly. And I mean, people are like little robots, just do it automatically without even thinking about it. When they cook, they just put this much in, and they don't have to look at the recipe book. They just do it this way, that way, because they've been doing it that way all their life. They don't have to think about it or look at a cookbook or something like that. Hey, just live good, amen? Live good all the time, then you won't have to think about it. I mean, if you live good all the time, you'll never catch yourself with a cigarette out there going, should I smoke this or not? Should I drink this or not? Should I look at this or not? That's the way it's done. That's the way it ought to be done. You say, who teaches you that? The Pharisees? No, grace teaches me that. Soberly, righteously, and godly. In this present world. I'm glad that... Now, when this was written, it's almost 2,000 years ago. Matter of fact, well, it's almost 2,000 years ago this little sentence was written. But he says, righteously and godly in this present world. And I'm glad he wrote it that way, because when I'm reading it in 2018, I've got a present world. Amen. And it goes for, listen, any time that you can still wake up and breathe in this church age, you can still live righteously and godly. There's a way to do it. The Bible says, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. That's still true in 2018. That's still true with naked women on TV. It's still true with a beer joint on every corner. It's still true with a false denomination on every corner. Amen. Now, I'm glad for churches on every corner. I wish they wouldn't all false denominations. But when the churches fall off of every corner, there'll be liquor stores to replace them. If you don't believe that, you go to Philadelphia or Delaware or any such place as that. They don't have churches on every corner up there. They got liquor stores on every corner up there. And both of them is a religion. But you can still live for God in a situation like that. You can, amen. Full of spirits, that's what they are. But I tell you this, you can live for God right here in this world today. Did you know that because of the grace of God, you can live for God with the messed up mind you got from before you were saved? The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, you can transform that little being you got up there for a brain. Amen. If I can do it, you can do it. If Paul can do it, I can do it. If anybody can do it, anybody else can do it, because the grace of God has appeared to everybody. You remember John chapter 1, we talked about it the other day. The Bible says about Jesus Christ, that was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The grace of God showed up for us, amen. And we can live godly and righteously. You can be godly. And now, let's pay particular attention to this word that comes right after soberly. Righteously. Let's talk about the way you live. It's not talking about imputed righteousness, although that's where your righteousness personally is going to come from. But the Bible says you can be righteous. Now, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before we get saved. After you get saved... 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says you do a certain thing. In that particular case, it's talking about giving. It says your righteousness will endure
forever. Ain't no filthy rag going to endure forever. It's talking about your righteousness. Your righteousness. Produced by salvation, no question about that. But it's yours. 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 Wasn't that a good sermon we heard on Wednesday night about keeping yourself in the love of God? That's real. Keep yourself is a dirty word in the Baptist circles. Because all we're going to do is show up and have a good time. All we're going to do is show up and shout a little bit. But that's not... It's okay to shout. Don't get me wrong what I'm trying to say. But I'm trying to say shouting without change is just another kind of rock concert.
That's right.
Amen. Shouting without the Holy Spirit of God doing something in your life is just another kind of entertainment. That's true whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not does not change what God thinks about it at all. You can go live the rest of your life like a rebel if you want to. You can crawl in a hole and hide with the devil for the rest of your life if you want to. But God's going to have His way. God is going to have His way. Amen. Godly in this present world. Boy, there ain't no hope for this world. Yes, there is. Yes, there is hope for this world. The very next verse says, looking for that blessed hope. That's motivation right there. Oh, you know, I'm a sinful man. You probably didn't know that, did you? Huh? You know you was a sinful man? You know what the biggest and best motivation for us is, Brother Clint? Jesus is coming.
Yep, man. That's it.
He's coming. I heard somebody say, Jesus is coming, and boy, is he mad. Well, he is at the world, but he shouldn't be mad at us. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 that he's purified us, he's cleansed us, that he might present us to himself as a glorious church.
Yep.
Well, that's what we ought to be to the Lord. And knowing that the Lord's coming back, and knowing that the Lord's on our side, and knowing that when he shows up, he's going to be on our side, that ought to be great motivation for a Christian. I told you the story before, and I'll tell you again. Just I got plenty of time left over this morning. I'll just tell you the story. I used to get picked on when I was a little boy. I'm a little man now, but I used to get picked on when I was a little boy. And these boys caught me one day and grabbed me by the back of the neck and bent me over at the waist and made me walk most of the way home. And boy, we got over near where I lived at, and we got close to this one house where my brother was known to hang out with his little friend named Smitty. He died not too long ago, and I hate that, but that fella died. But my brother and him come down the hill about the time they had me bent over. And listen, I had been struggling. I had been up, been bent. I don't know if you've ever walked a half mile bent over at the waist with two fellas making fun of you and embarrassing you in front of everybody else. I mean, they were sixth grade girls out there and all kinds of stuff. But at any rate, you know, that stuff is embarrassing. It's weighty. It's heavy. It's traumatic. It's scary. All these things. But boy, when my brother come down the hill, hey, that was the words of rejoicing that I heard. Amen. And them boys let me go, and my brother tuned them up a little bit. And boy, everything was right after that. My back didn't even hurt. I'm telling you what, this life will get you bent over and embarrassed and hurt and scared and everything else. But one of these days, big brother's going to come down the hill and he's going to holler, hey,
yeah.
Turn loose of that boy. Turn loose of my son. Turn loose of my brother. Amen. And then you'll stand up and go, what you got to say now, big boy? Amen. That's right. That's right. And that's what you ought to be saying now when the bullies show up of this world. I'm not talking about some kid out on the street. It'd do some of you good to get beat up on the playground.
Yep.
Amen. I'm waiting for one of these little boys to pop Reese right in the nose, little brat. Amen. If somebody popped your little kid in the nose, you'd probably, oh my God, a bully has hit my kid. Well, somebody needs to hit you a couple times. You learn some good lessons. The bullies of this world teach you some good lessons, amen. Number one, they toughen your head up, amen. I might be stupid, but I got a tough head, amen. Don't hurt too bad when you hit it. Boy, it hurts my feet, though. I got a little weight set at the little dumbbell. There's a dumbbell in that lives in my bedroom, and there's a dumbbell laying there at the foot of the bed. And I walked by it, and I banged my foot on the edge of that thing. Oh, my soul. I limped over here and picked the thing up I was wanting. And I turned around, walked back, and I hit the right one on the same thing. I hit the bed. Pitched a big old fit, just like a baby. You hit your foot going both ways. That hurts, boy. I didn't cuss. I come awfully close. You stupid. That hurts, amen. But the head gets tough, amen. Take a hit. I got hit one time in high school. Got hit three times before I realized I was in a fight. Got hit in the back of the head. I thought somebody walked by and was messing with me, you know, a friendly, you know, thump on the back of the head or something like that. So I kept talking. Next thing I know, I was in a fight. The fellow was hitting me. It didn't hurt. See, I'd been hit since I was in the second grade because I was a little munchkin. Bullying gets you toughened up after a while. But it sure will be a glorious thing to me when the Lord shows up and gets rid of all those spiritual bullies. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Like all the television programs that are continually making fun of your God and making fun of your principles. You just get me one television show that doesn't teach ungodly, un-American principles, ungodly and un-American principles, and I give you a $5 bill. Amen? I mean, just about every show you turn on, I know they're entertaining, I know they're funny, but they're entertaining and funny so they can also put in something against God or against the right way to live. Amen. They don't got to cuss. Just allow this and allow that and everything will be okay. If you want to see prime examples of it, go back to the 60s and 70s and watch those programs.
Absolutely.
I don't have time to stay in that. I'm talking about the grace of God. But they're bullies. Hollywood's a bunch of bullies.
Yes, sir.
And they're the ones screaming loudest, let's stop bullying.
Right.
And they've been bullying the church since their inception.
Right.
Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. Best lessons I ever learned. Well, some of the best lessons I ever learned come from bullies. Amen. And I tell you what, some of the bullies that God's going to throw off when he comes back is other religious people, preachers.
Yeah.
Preachers. You know, I just got tired. I just got fed up with it. I don't care to be associated with them no more. So, Brother Mike, you're ranting and blowing off steam. I might be, but I'm just telling you, when you get on Facebook every day or when you go to camp meetings every day and it's preachers the one talking against godliness and preachers talking against doing right and preachers talking against the authority of the church, which the church has, and the preachers talking against the authority of the preacher, ain't not a one of them believe that.
Right.
Not one. Preachers, well, I don't think preachers should be that. They don't believe that. They believe you shouldn't tell them what to do. Every one of them sitting in front of a congregation telling them what to do. Bunch of rebels.
Yeah.
Devils. I tried to say devil and rebels at the same time. I about cussed right there. Amen. Well, it might have been right. Might have been right to say that. But that's what they are. Amen.
Yeah.
Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. I'm not looking for the Antichrist.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm looking for the Lord to come. He's going to appear just like it says in 2 Thessalonians. One of these days, you're going to look up in the clouds and there he's going to be. Oh, and before you can even process it, you'll be standing right next to him. You'll be looking around going, this is a wonderful body I just seem to have popped into. Amen. It's going to be wonderful, ain't it? And the Bible says this, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. That's from your past sins. If you're a Christian, you're still messing around with iniquity, he can redeem you from that too. You know what could happen this morning? Some of you folks that's been just playing around with sin and kind of half in and kind of half off. And I don't see much good on Facebook, but I did see something good on Facebook this past week. It was a woman straddling a fence. She wasn't straddling, she was laying across a fence. And it said you need to choose one side or the other. And it said the devil owns the fence. And that's good too, amen. Yeah, if you're on the fence, you're not between two worlds. You're still in the devil's world. The ground on this side of the fence belongs to God. Of course, it all belongs to God. He just hadn't performed a hostile takeover yet. But he will someday.
Yeah.
He will someday, amen. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. You're still playing around with sin? Why don't you just get all the way in? Stop messing around with that stuff.
Amen.
Just stop messing around with it. You can go back up to the beginning of the chapter and find some of these things. Just be sober, be grave, be temperate. Women, be in behavior as becometh holiness. It don't mean it's going to become holiness eventually. It means it looks good on holiness. It's becoming. That's what it says in verse 1. But speak thou the things that become sound doctrine. Teach things that look right with sound doctrine. Don't teach that God is holy, but God's children don't have to be. Those two things don't go together. One's doctrinal, one's not doctrinal. One's doctrinal, one's foolish.
Right.
Amen? Well, it's becoming. And it says that they may be that they may teach young women to be sober. Ladies, don't be drinking, getting drunk. Amen? To love their husbands. When I was trying to memorize that, I memorized it first incorrectly, their own husbands. But I don't think there's much wrong with that. Love your own husband.
Yes.
Amen? You know what, ladies? I wouldn't try to minister to anybody else till you minister to your own husband. Men, I mean, look in the Bible. Simon Peter, all these men of God got pulled away from their homes, not their wives. They wasn't out ministering to bus kids. I didn't say they couldn't. I'm saying they weren't till they learned how to minister to their own husband. Love your husband first. Husbands, love your wives. That's what Ephesians chapter 5 says. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about getting rid of the little iniquitous, the little wicked, the little evil things, the little foxes that spoil the vine. Amen. Why not just do it today? The Bible says our blessed hope gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Oh, it probably gets better in verse 5. To be discreet. Ladies, be discreet. Don't tell everything you know. Shut your big mouth. I got to go tell my friend about what just happened. No, you don't. Go pray about what just happened. Well, I don't think this is right here. I don't think this is being done right. Shut your mouth. You say, well, I need to tell somebody. Tell God.
Yeah.
Tell God. I don't think my husband is doing this right. Tell God.
Amen.
Tell God. Oh, ladies, talking bad about your husband is an open door for the devil.
Yeah.
Many, 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 many adulterous affairs started just by telling somebody else something bad about your spouse, and it just grows from there. Well, I would never do that to you. You're just so special.
Yeah.
I mean, ladies, lift weights, get strong, and when somebody starts talking to you like that, just choke them out. Because
yeah.
They're trying to kill you.
That's exactly right.
Amen. Sunday school, I'm not going to get too demonstrative here. But that's the truth.
That's exactly
just get rid of it. Be discreet. Chaste, legalist. That's what it means in modern Christianity. Being chaste means being a legalist. Keepers at home. Say, I got a job. We'll still be a keeper at home. Proverbs 31, you can have all the jobs you want to. The lady in Proverbs 31 had all kinds of jobs. But if you can't have the jobs and be a keeper at home, be a keeper at home first. Amen. That's another thing they taught you in 70s TV sitcoms. Amen. Like it or lump it. Obedient to their own husbands. Be obedient to them. You say, why? Male chauvinism. No, because God said to. Most of your husbands are probably stupider than you are. But God might just have made you subservient to him to humble you. Women are better at this. That's what you hear on TV. Women are better at multitasking. Women are better at this. Well, then you need some sources of humility then. Here, be subject to this stinky, dirty sock wearing, hadn't showered in a week imbecile. Something else I found on Facebook. My husband is my husband. Delete. Amen. Just get rid of it. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. When people look at you, Brother Curtis, they ought to say, that fella's peculiar. You say, why do you call Brother Curtis's name? Because that's what I hear out of St. George. I run into people from St. George. I said, hey, I know some people in St. George.
You know Curtis Daimler? Yeah, I know him. He's kind of a different fella, ain't he? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he's a different fella. Yes, sir. I've had preachers come here and look around a couple fellas wearing overalls. These guys are kind of laid back. And I said, yeah, they're different breed, some of these guys around here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. You know what's peculiar about some of these men around here? When you tell them something that ain't right, they'll say, nope, that ain't right there. When something begins to bother a godly man, he stands up and says, hey, I don't think this is quite right. That's what a godly man's supposed to do.
Yeah.
I can picture old Deacon Job standing up in his local meeting and going, oh, fellas, I got something to say right here. The Bible said he eschewed evil.
Right.
He stayed away from it. He denied ungodliness. He denied it. No, sir, we ain't having that. Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. That's the right way to go. Amen. Peculiar people. The Lord, it says he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Purified people. You ever drink any of this bottled water? I've been drinking several bottles a day now. Feels good. It's like nature's energy drink, water. But you know, one of my daughters pointed out the other day, and it's absolutely true, not all water tastes the same. My wife, God bless her heart, she likes to save money. She buys the cheap. She come home with some of this stuff. It was such a cheap case of waters that the bottles even looked. I mean, the bottles, when the bottles don't look good, I mean it's supposed to be clear plastic. It's supposed to be like pleasing to the eye and all this stuff. The bottles kind of look dingy on this thing. I got one of them things and opened it and tasted it, and it tastes like it was filtered through charcoal or something. I don't know. I was like, this ain't too good. But you know, you could take some of that. I read that it said tap water. I mean, that it was so cheap that it actually said tap water on the side. I was like, Lord have mercy. They probably paid her. See, it was so cheap, they probably paid her to take it. But at any rate, that's pretty cheap, amen. But then you get some and it's purified. It says purified on the side of it. And it's spring water. Spring, not tap water, spring water. And boy, you turn that up, drink the whole bottle in one drink. 16 ounces. Leave you wanting more. And that's what Christianity should make into us, purified people. So just take you all at one time and want some more, amen? And I talked to Don Green yesterday on the phone. Talked to him for 40 minutes, and when we hung up, left me wanting more. Man, I wish I could talk to him another hour. 90-year-old man, you got to give him a break, though. Amen? But listen, it's been so long since I sat down with a preacher and just talked about the Bible. The Bible. Call up evangelists and call up pastors and all they're talking about all these different things. And really, truly, with all my heart, I just want to find a preacher, sit down and talk about the Bible. I've heard preachers make fun of other preachers because they're talking about what has the Lord showed you lately and stuff like this. You are out of your ever-loving mind. Stop preaching, please. A preacher that don't want to talk about the Bible, a preacher that would rather talk about fishing or hunting than the Bible, I do not understand that.
Yeah.
It's because they're not being purified, I think. I got a sneaking suspicion about that. Amen. Zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. The Lord wants to create people who are zealous of good works. Not running from good works. Not preaching against good works. Do you realize that that's what we've come to in the Baptist church, is that preachers are preaching against good works? They're so mortally wounded in their head that that is actually what Christianity has become about. We're against good works, and we're so rotten and we are so filthy. That's their testimony. But once you call them out about how rotten and filthy they are, they won't speak to you no more. That means they are lying when they say they're rotten and filthy. Oh, I'm so unworthy. They do not mean that. They don't mean it. You say, well, how can you say they don't mean it? Because they get mad at you when you tell them. Listen, next time you preach, if you get up and call us a bunch of buzzards, I'll be like, yes. Yes, we are.
It's not a revelation. That's not something new from God. That's not a strange new doctrine. We're bad. We're bad. We're bad. We're bad. Listen, this little girl right here, she never says nothing. She never peeps or hollers. She never does, she never leaves the house. She never stays out late. She's bad. She's bad. You say, why? She's a people. She's a people. We're bad. We need preaching that way. Tommy, you're bad.
Right.
You're bad. I was like rolling around in the floor laughing. Brother Tommy goes to the Caribbean, all these pictures they're putting up on Facebook, Tommy's in camouflage and every one of them, I'm like, yes. It's like the Okefenokee Swamp moved to the Caribbean. And there's guys walking around in Panama shirts and all this, you know, the style. And here's Tommy walking around. I seen him walk out of this building. There's this taco salesman. I wouldn't eat at that place for $1 million. No, sir. I love tacos, but I like it from Main Street America, not from, anyway. That fella didn't even have no gloves on. He's digging around down there. And Tommy's walking back and forth in his camouflage. I'm like, yeah, yeah. I don't know what that had to do with what I was saying. I lost my track, lost my point. But listen. We're bad. We're bad. We're bad. We're bad. Listen, we need preaching.
Yes.
And we need some folks that get zealous about good works. Hey, we're going to do something good.
Yeah.
Just going to do something good. You know what, man? You get to sitting around trying to correct all these preachers. Listen, they may as well be Catholics to me now.
Absolutely.
You're not going to change them.
Nope.
Said, Brother Mike, what'd you spend so much time ranting and raving about stuff for? Listen, I care, man. I care. I look back at the pictures of my old preacher. I posted one last night. Ain't nobody in the world wants to see Dr. Carl T. Lackey. They're posting the Harley Davidsons and rifles and pistols, which I love. I love all that stuff. But here's a picture of old man that's been dead now for 30 years and everybody hates him anyway. Here, look at this for a while. You say, why? Because I like those old men. When I see a Baptist preacher stand up and talk about stuff that Methodist preachers were preaching in 1975, I just, oh, man. Church ain't supposed to be a good old boys club where everybody agrees on everything, but I tell you what, I sure do wish it was that way. I wish you could go to any church in America and get the same preaching, the same biblical preaching that I got when I was a boy. And listen, it makes me so mad. Just irritates me. I should be more, if I was more gracious, I'd be like this chapter we just discussed. So I guess I'm just about where I should be. Amen. But when I see preachers stand up and say, we're like the old timers, Carl Lackey, and we're like the old timers, Lester Roloff. We're like the old, and they're not preaching the same message. I'm like, you're just like those people in the Bible where God said you're saying that you're like the old timers, but you're not. You're just whitewashing the sepulchers. You say you're not like those people that killed the prophets, but you're their sons. You're their sons.
That's right.
Hey, listen, when I was a boy, they cussed Preacher Lackey. They cussed him. That blankety blank, so, and you know what they done when they died? They built a bridge where his house used to be and named it after him. The same county commissioners that was cussing him every week because he was getting liquor stores put off and put off and put off. It took him the longest time to get an ABC store. That's not where kids go to learn reading, writing, arithmetic. That's alcoholic beverage control. It's a liquor store. He fought it and fought it and had it put off for years. They were so mad at him they couldn't stand him. When he died, they built a bridge and named it after him, the Reverend Carl Lackey Bridge. Makes me mad. Amen, because they're a bunch of hypocrites. Oh, we loved him. You didn't love him. They cussed him. You said, what are you getting at, Brother Mike? Now the same people are acting, the preachers who are acting like the people that used to curse him are using his name to say, we're old time. Harold Seitler. We're like Harold Seitler. We're like Carl Lackey. You ain't like none of them. You're like an old Methodist, dried up, dead, good for nothing so-and-so.
Yep.
Amen, that's what you like. You're like an old dead religious, hell-bound sinner. We love our sins and you ain't going to tell us what to do. Amen, somebody's going to tell you.
That's right.
Somebody's going to tell you, amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you for the good spirit. Thank you, dear God, for the power. Thank you for the influence. Thank you for the leading. God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, God, for the tracts that was handed out this week, the preachers that preach on the street, those that witnessed, those that were about your work and carrying out the labor that you've given us to do. Lord, help us to be zealous of good works. Help us to love good works. Help us, God, to become more and more the good people that we ought to be as Christians. Lord, you said in Ephesians chapter 2, we're saved by grace through faith, but you said that we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Help us to love them. Help us to do them. Help us to be zealous about it. We'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen.